This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, turn with me to Joel chapter 1. We're going to continue on the series of the call to a season of consecration and contending. Turn with me to Joel 1. We are on this 16 days of consecration, fasting, and contending. I want to keep encouraging and invite us. You know, every day we have a prayer session on come and contend and pray together and expecting, you know, I'm not just doing this 50 days, just go through the motion. Yeah, I have my duty done. At the end of the day, I kind of like abstain for food for 50 days and then, okay, I'm done. God, I done my due. I'm expecting God to speak. In fact, I felt that God give the invitation for us to ask for a word for the nations. Why not? You know, it's about time that we expect big things from God. In the days of old, God raised up people like Joseph and Daniel. In the time of crisis, they had an answer. The answer is not from them who are smart. The answer is that God has an answer and God has the word, and we are living in serious time. I mean, we are also not in just a serious time. Singapore is at the turning point. You know, we are this year of Jubilee. You know, as people of God, we have to be convinced, we have to be convicted, we have to believe that if the world has no answer, we have an answer because we have God. So I'm not just going through motion after this 50 days, thank God, finish. We can start eating just nice. First day of Chinese New Year, it's time to eat, no? Ba kwa or whatever. Someone is talking about how do you make ba kwa. No. I'm just not just enduring this 50 days. Yeah, I guess who, you know, the book that we are studying, the same name. I'm not just going through motion. I'm expecting. Let's contend together and believing. You know? Come as much as you can. Don't take this casually. You know, I say last week, how many of us will have another Jubilee? We won't have another Jubilee for Singapore. In fact, in our lifetime, most of us, if you are lucky, you may have two Jubilee in your lifetime. I certainly don't wish to have two Jubilee, you know. I mean, I look at people 100 years old and so on. I don't wish to have two Jubilee. But the key is this. I'm expecting God to speak. I'm not just fasting to endure. I'm fasting with faith and expecting that God is going to speak. So come expecting and come asking and come opening our heart, because God will speak. He is a God of heaven. He is real. And when we seek His face, when we wait before Him, when we fast and pray, God will speak. And He has been. You know, some of the prayer that we utter over the last 60 days is that kind of man. You know, it has to be grace of God. That God is stirring our hearts. What is in His heart to really pray in the seat, whether it's for Singapore or for the church in Singapore. But I just want to throw that in the sense that to raise our level of expectation. Because sometimes we can, you know, pray fast, you know, yeah, okay, not expecting, hope for the best. No, I'm not hoping for the best. I'm expecting that God will say something. And expecting that through these 50 days, and after these 50 days, someone is going to take over, whatever prayer network is going to take over, that we're going to turn this nation Godward. We're going to turn this nation in accordance to the heart of God and the will of God. And what this is all about, you know, I'm not interested in just going through motion. I have enough of going through motion, but I'm seriously contending. And if God is real, He's alive, He's inviting us to do this thing, I think we can do better and expect something greater. I'm expecting God to speak. I'm contending for a word. No, whether it's through me or anybody, someone received the very word of God, like Joseph and Daniel, going to the governmental office of Singapore and say, "This is the word of the Lord." Why not? You know, I think we should raise our level of expectation. That's why I felt today where God is giving that invitation. So we're gonna contend. We're gonna ask, because this is relevant for what I'm gonna share today, because the greatest gift to a nation in hours like this is someone who has the Word of God. That's why we need to contend. Okay, so turn to me to Joel. And we've got to believe we have a God that speaks. And He will release His Word. And why not us? You know, even the 15-year-old, 16-year-old, why not? Let's expect, let's pray. And where God dropped that Word, that's not up to us to decide. And I don't care. I think my greatest concern is that, God, I want to hear Your Word. I want You to speak, you know. So what if He released the Word to another church down the road who didn't fast and pray? I mean, I don't care, because at the end of the day, what do we pray? May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done. So it's not, you know, some sow, some reap, okay, but we get the same reward, okay. Turn to me to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. We're going to continue on this series of this call to the season of consecrations and contending. I mean, specifically, the context is that we are contending for Singapore in this year of Jubilee, where we really want to understand the heart of God. No, yes, we do understand a little bit of what is heart of God for Singapore, you know, like this call as an entity of Asia, but there got to be something more and with greater clarity, so that we as the people of God in this land, we want to pray from the position of understanding. I think that's so vital. It's never about praying what we think, but what is God's heart? What is His will for Singapore? And how, out of that, how do we pray for Singapore, especially in the light and in the context of we all believe that we are living in the generation that Jesus is returning. So if we are living in the generation that Jesus is returning, how do we pray for Singapore? How do we pray for Singapore? Turn to me to Colossians 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. Such a powerful verse where give us that powerful key and principle of how do we pray. Because we really need to know the knowledge of God's will. That means His heart, His will, and His desire. God has a heart for nations. Every nation has a specific will. And we have to find out, you know. People always ask me about, you know, how do you do spiritual warfare? The unfortunate thing is a lot of time we do spiritual warfare, we focus on the negative. We focus on the binding and the losing. The number one fundamental principle when we wage a spiritual warfare for a nation is about finding out what is the redemptive purpose of a nation. Yes, it's important to bind and lose, but what is after binding and losing? At the end of the day, it's about praying for a nation to rise up and stepping into the destiny of what God has. Because God has destiny for every nation. Every nation reveals a redemptive purpose of God. And every nation reveals a certain nature and the characteristics of who God is. For example, Japan. As steep as she is in all kinds of Shintoism or Buddhism and so on, one of the redemptive purpose of Japan is they understand honor. They understand honor. Do you know the word honor is very important to God? They understand about honor and sacrifice. That's why they are willing to die for their king. You know what's the term called? Kamasaki, is it? Yeah. I bet if Japan gets saved, Japan will die for the King of Kings. Every nation has a redemptive purpose. How about United Kingdom? United Kingdom understand about royalties. United Kingdom understand, you know, through that, understand about Jesus as a royal king that will return. That's where we need to pray from the understanding of God's heart and His will for every specific purpose, I mean nations. Singapore do not exist by chance. I always say Singapore, there's no reason for Singapore to survive. I mean, not survive. There's a lot of reason for Singapore to survive. At least it'll be good for my life. No, there's no reason for Singapore to exist except because God has a purpose and the will for this nation. Many call it a red dot. Colossians 1:9 said this. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need to have understanding of the very heart of God for our nation. What is the redemptive purpose that God has for Singapore? Like, for example, we are called the Lion City. I don't think it's coincident that we are called the Lion City. If you understand animal, we have an expert sitting right behind, even though she specializes in trees. Marine. I'm sorry, not tree, even though she works in M-Park. You know that in this region, there is no lion. There are tigers. Why we are called the Lion City? That gives us some clue and hint to the redemptive purpose of Singapore. And that's where we need to ask God to grant us understanding. We need to ask God to reveal the knowledge of the will of God for our nation with understanding. You see, it's important to have revelation. But revelation alone is not good enough. We need to have understanding so that we pray with understanding. You see, unfortunately, a lot of time we stop short at revelation. We want revelation. But what does that revelation mean at the end of the day? How do you apply that revelation? That's where we need understanding. And Paul said, with all wisdom and understanding, so that we wisdom is for us to know how to use that information or revelation. That's why this is so vital. We need to know what is God's heart so that we can pray. Again, Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6, verse 10. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. Not what we think. Not what we feel, but the heart and will of the Father. You know, I've been talking to, I talked a little bit, this last 2 weeks, you know, I'm in the midst of helping people in the mini crisis. I thought I passed the test, okay? I will tell you, give you some experience. It's so vital, okay? I was talking to some people today and I said, why God does not answer prayer? Why God does not answer prayer? See, that's where we need to understand that prayer is not accordance to what we think or what we feel that is good for our nation or for individual. Prayer is about agreeing with the heart of God. That's why it's so vital to know. Yes, I think nothing wrong with asking for Singapore to prosper. I mean, I hope so. You know, if Singapore every year has 10%, what's the growth rate at 10%, and my pay also will increase. Anyway, I have no pay, so it doesn't affect me. Okay, so nothing wrong with all that, but ultimately, what is the heart and the will of God? That's why this four sessions, I want to lay out the principles so that we contend from the position of understanding God's heart, but more importantly is that the context of the time that we are living in, because you cannot take that away. Because if you take that away, we will be like ostrich that put our head in the sand where we are not living in real time and season. And that's why it's so understanding the will as well as knowing the time and season. That's why we need understanding. We need wisdom. And it's so important for us to keep asking God questions. See, there's nothing wrong to ask God for questions unless you ask with cynicism and skepticism. Okay, last week I talked about Psalms 2 and Psalms 110. Okay, I taught such two powerful psalms. I hope I have time to come back to these two psalms along the way to just go deeper so that we really grasp the heart. I challenge you, encourage you to go further and read the two psalms. Because Psalms 2 give us the picture, one of the clearest message God is saying right now about the time and season that we are living in. Both extreme, unique dynamic that light will get brighter, darkness will get darker. So which side will we be? My answer always, it depends of how do we prepare ourselves. I felt that I passed the last 2 weeks of that mini crisis that I'm handling. I thought God was just, God is just unique. I'm not going to explain that he allowed this to teach me, but that I realized that I could answer some really difficult questions. And in the midst of this, in very common mini crisis, many people waver. But I could answer the questions because, I mean, I just a learning lesson and just realize, you know, some of these things that because of how I prepare and live for the last 10 years, I have that answer. No, answer is not you pass exam PSLE, you know, I give the answer, so I pass. But that at that critical moment, I have that answer. And that kind of give that confidence in the midst of crisis for everybody to hold on to God. I doubt I will be able to answer some of these questions or handle this mini crisis if I have not prepared myself buying oil over this last 10, 11, 15 years. And my word to all of us is this: a much bigger crisis is coming. Whether you stand or you are shaken, it all depends on how you live right now. Don't assume that we will be ready. But if we live in accordance to the way of God, it will be our finest hour. When I say finest hour, that doesn't mean a walk in the park, it will be easy. But you will shine. That's one of the verses that I've been praying over this last 2 weeks is Philippians 2:15. In the midst of the crooked and perverse generation, we will shine as light. We will shine as light. Don't assume that automatically it will happen to us. Don't. It's how you lay hold of what God is saying right now and begin to dig in. When I say dig in, not retreat. No, I hate saying that we are going for leaders' retreat. Christians shouldn't retreat. We should advance. It's about how you dig in and prepare yourself so that when the moment comes, you will be found ready. Because you never know when that inverted comma crisis will come. You never know when the moment comes. When the moment comes, then you begin to scramble for facts and figure. Often, it will be too late. And I say this especially for our children because they are going to face even the greater intensity of their time. And one of the things that we really pray for is for the future generation of Singapore. We have to pray for their heart so that they will not lose to all the values and the corruption and the perversion of this generation. It's hard. The only answer is in God. That's why I talked about Psalms 2 last week, where I paint the time and the season. But you see, if you understand the whole Psalms, it's not gloom and doom. There is that positive aspect. You see, that's the beauty about the what God is saying pertaining to this end of the age issue. It's not just, it's all positive. It's not just, it's all negative. The issue is, it will be both. And how will we be positive and negative? It all depends on how you live right now. We are on the fast track. More and more, we are on the fast track. I said last week, we are racing towards there. We are not there yet, but we are racing towards there. One is for ourselves. Two is the destiny of our nation and our generation is in our hand. How do we contend? How do we live? Okay, that's why I take this 50-day seriously. I just came back, you know, no time to adjust, you know, handle some of this issue. Now, today I was inside there. I mean, feel like, oh, I mean, I'm feeling sick, man. You know, should I come out of the fast? I said, no, I refuse. God, give me grace. I'm going to contend for it. Until I'm really sick, then no choice. I said, okay, God, you didn't help me. So I'm eating, really. No, I'm trusting God. Okay. And of course, I talk about Psalms 110. Psalms 110, verse 3, really is the questions of the hour. In the day of His power, do we understand? Do we agree? In the day of His power, do we understand? And do we agree? I don't assume that all of us will agree, even in this house. It will be hot, trust me. I don't assume. And don't write on my coattail. My coattail is already very short. I don't assume. It's about you really go in and understand the heart of God, because there will be huge, difficult questions that you and I has to answer on our own. I can't answer for you. No one can answer for you, because it will be intense. Okay. Today I'm going to talk about the importance of hearing and responding, which primarily come from Joel 1, verse 1 to 2. Hearing and responding probably is one of the most vital word, right? No, word not just so that we can say it, we can pray, but that how do we lay hold of these two, hearing and responding, especially for the watchman and the voice of God, because we need to know clearly so that we know what to pray. What to pray. You know, general prayer is no longer going to cut it. More and more, we need to know the heart of God. Okay, so hearing and responding, especially hearing, is so vital, so that as the watchman that God is setting on the wall, we know what to cry out. You know, we know what to pray that is really in accordance to the heart. That's why when I came back, I forced everybody to pray apostolic prayer, at least for the staff. And I thought the prayer was so much more specific and focused. I'll talk about it maybe next week or so on. Because we need to know the heart of God, and we need to pray in accordance to His heart and His will through the very Word of God. No, this is not about, no, I know people ask me, oh, Kechong, does that mean all our prayer last time does not count? No. It all counts. Every week prayers count. But it's about you. It's about me. We are forcing ourselves to dig into the Word so that you begin to know the heart of God. Because even one word prayer counts. Helped. But the key is not that one-word prayer. The key is about, I'm forcing us to use the apostolic prayer so that we will search the Word, and then we will know the heart of God, and then how do we feed this whole message in? And when we begin to pray, the greatest beneficiary is you and me, because our heart know the heart of God, and the confidence arise. That's why it is so, so vital. Don't take the easy way out. It's true. Any prayer counts from the heart. It's not about, you know, yeah, from the heart is good enough. No, it's about your heart. Your prayers, even you speak to God. No one understands in this room. God knows your heart. It counts. But it's about you dig in and you know the very heart of God. So I'm going to close the door now, very soon. No more any other prayer except... No, he said, yeah, very narrow. Come on, there are 30 apostolic prayers. You can't exhaust the heart of God that 30 apostolic... It practically can pray for anything. It's true. Okay, well, I'll talk about it. So today I'm going to talk about... Today I'm going to talk about Joel 1, verse 1 to 2, which is about the importance of hearing and responding. Importance of hearing and responding. Next week, I'm going to talk about being the voice of God, which is Joel 2:1, which is vital, because God has something to say. He's looking for people to agree with Him. More than just agreeing with Him, He's looking for people to speak what is in His heart. That's why He's raising up voices. Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice crying out in the wilderness. If you go to verse 6, there's a voice saying, what shall we cry? Do we know what to say? Do we know what is in the heart of God for now? You see, the greatest tragedy in September 11, 2001, yes, it's a tragedy. Many people died. But the greatest tragedy is that the church did not understand. The church did not understand. And a few top leaders of the church in America was invited to CNN and so on and whatever. They don't have an answer. That's why we have to contend for the very Word of God, what God is saying. And the last Friday, because it's not neutral and it's not silent, God has something to say. he really have something to say. Okay, then the last Friday, I'm going to talk about God's requirement to respond. Why this consecration and contending is so vital, and God makes it very clear. Okay, I know two couple is getting married this year. Okay, you know, Joel too said no honeymoon. So just go Sentosa and come back. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, go Sentosa is not bad. What? It's still, it can go by air, come back by sea. Cable car. Okay. Yeah, still overseas. Okay. Okay, never mind. Okay, let me give you a brief introduction to the book of Joel. Then I'm going to just run through the few verses, okay? Because this is such a huge and a loaded book. This is a very powerful book because this is one of the book that has such, whatever that's being described in the three chapters, has such similarity with what is happening right now. Because what happened during Joel's time is they are encountering something that is totally unprecedented. It's totally unprecedented. And God's hand was behind it. Yet they interpreted it wrongly. And because they interpreted it wrongly, the response were either wrong or they were complacent. It's really the grace of God that God is speaking. That's why this book is so vital. There are so many things that we can learn from this book in such a time as this, both positive as well as negative, as well, especially in such a time as this as we are contending for Singapore. Singapore is really at a turning point. So how are we interpreting what is happening from the perspective of God or from the human perspective, or we turn to economies or whatever? No, there is a place for that. But at the end of the day, it's about turning to God and what God is saying in such a time as this. Three chapters, powerful book. The major theme is actually the day of the Lord. Okay, the day of the Lord, basically, just a nutshell. I taught it that I taught it probably about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, such a long time. Day of the Lord basically means that it's a unique time frame when God actually breaks in with unprecedented power, glory, and judgment because He wants to do something. Okay, chapter one is about so-called past day of the Lord because God just sent a locust invasion, totally wreck and ruin the economy and agriculture of the nation of Israel. Because Joel makes it very clear. It's of the Lord. Okay, it's of the Lord. He allows it. That is one question at the end of the day, all of us must have the conviction and confidence to answer. Why God allows such a thing? Why? Do we have clarity? Do we have understanding? That's how you press in right now so that when the moment comes, we have a clear voice in answering some of these questions. You know, for the sake of those who came in a little bit later that did not hear what I say, I went through, not me, but handling just a mini crisis that broke out sometime last week, this week. I felt that I passed the test. I had an answer in the midst of uncertainty and so on. And I know it's because the last 10, 15 years I've been pressing in so that I have the clarity, even the most difficult and so-called the crisis question that give hope and give anchor to many who are seeking to hold on to it. And we need that. There'll be a bigger one that's this I'm not putting this down, but that there will be a real crisis that is coming. Do we have a voice? Which is so vital. Okay. Joel probably, the book of Joel is probably one of the most important book for such a time as this. I call it the expanded version of Psalms 2. Because it really speaks the very heart of God for now, where we are facing unprecedented time and event. That's why in verse 2, Joel said this, "Have you seen anything like this before?" It's unprecedented. See, a lot of things that we are facing right now is really unprecedented. Unprecedented. It's just that we are so used to it. So we get down, which I'm going to address, because one of the things that if we don't learn to respond, we will slowly get down. We will slowly get down. the purpose of the book of Joel, there are many purposes. Let's highlight a few. One is to make sense of what is happening. To make sense of what is happening. Actually, it's one of the best instruction manual in the Bible in teaching us how to prepare to arise as a bride that shine in the context of uncertainty and turning point. The clearest in the entire Bible is the clearest. Okay, how do we respond in order to release the fullness of God's promise? You know, we are all familiar with Joel 2, verse 28 to 32, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit unprecedented. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit unprecedented is the result of the people of God responding in Joel 2, verse 12 to verse 17, which is primarily two things: wholeheartedness, consecration, repent, as well as sacred assembly. See, the promise of God do not just happen automatically. There's always this key principle of if, then. Singapore has a destiny, but we cannot assume that she will automatically fulfill the fullness of God's destiny. That's where we have to come as a people of God, where we wholeheartedly seek God's face and we get. That's what this 50 days is all about. I'm expecting. That's why I encourage, challenge. Come as often as you can. Every day we will have a sessions on. I'm not just doing this duty thing. Okay, la, 50 days, don't eat. I'm expecting God to speak. I'm expecting God to do something. If He is inviting us, He will act if we respond wholeheartedly. Okay, this is really a very important book. I say that how we respond to God in releasing the fullness of His promise, and how do we respond in crisis? Okay, this book is like a expanded version of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that we understand the time and know what to do. Okay, give you some outline of Joel 1. Now I'm going to run through verse by verse. Because the key is I want to get you to read, to meditate. Not just so that you know some Bible scripture. So that when you come to the mic and pray or you sit there, you know the heart of God, you know what to say. No, not say correctly. You say it in alignment and in accordance to the heart of God. Okay. So that is why we teach. We teach not so that you know Bible. No. I always say this, I don't want to know the Bible. I want to know God through the Bible. I want to know the heart of God through the Bible. What's the point of loaded with all the Bible verses? My life don't change. I don't know God at all. I live life business as usual. It's better don't know at all. I say it's better to know one verse and live out than you know 10,000 verses, which is useless. That is the key thing. Okay, give you the outline of Joel 1. Joel 1. Joel 1 is the young one. Joel 2 is the old one. Okay. Joel 1. Okay, verse 2a. I call this a sober and a serious call by Prophet Joel to hear and understand. A sober and a serious call of Prophet Joel to hear and understand. If you study the book carefully, they did not take heed at all. And God has to keep sending waves and waves and of locust invasion. You know, sometimes disaster or unfortunate things happen or not smooth things happen is God wants our attention. I call it tightening the screw because He wants our attention, which is mercy, which is grace. Because in the context, God allowed that locust invasion is to wake up the nation of Israel, because if they don't respond correctly, a greater crisis is coming, which is the Nebuchadnezzar army. The only turning point is when if they repent, turn to God in wholeheartedness, and they gather for solemn assembly. So a lot of time is really the grace of God, and it's so vital to hear. More than just hear correctly, we have to respond correctly. Because if we keep hearing, if we don't respond, eventually we will become down in our spirit. After a while, we get used to it. See, the most vulnerable people to this is actually we in the house of prayer. We hear this message so long, after a while, we get used to it. Say, is there anything new, Kei Chong? 6 years ago, you talked about Joel 1. Is there anything new? Because we have become dull, because we have not responded. That's the key thing. Okay, so that's verse 2a. A sober and a serious call to hear and understand. Verse 2b, where Joel emphasized the coming of unfamiliar and unprecedented crises. And his word is surely it will come. Surely it will come. In fact, we are entering into uncharted water. We have never been this way before. Many things. You know, I was talking to someone, and said, yeah, I know, we are just discussing. This is really unprecedented. Oil price dropped. Now it's even less than, I heard it's less than $50 per barrel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Something is happening. I was just talking to someone today, and I was saying that I believe that, I mean, this guy worked in the high places and so on. I believe that another financial crisis is just down the road. He knows some of this financial thing. So his answer politically, diplomatically, say, I do not disagree with you. I just say that you agree with me, lah. So some of this, they cannot say that I agree. Say, I do not disagree with you. So you agree, lor. Yeah, doesn't matter. Okay, verse 3. The urgency and the importance of proclaiming the heart of God. That means we need to interpret it correctly. What are the time and season? Okay. I always want to come back to remind us, no, this is not the gloom and the doom. This is about that. We know what is happening. We stand in the gap. We can turn a nation and we can turn a situation in accordance to the heart and the will of God. Okay. Verse 4 to verse 14, because verse 4 and 14 is just loaded. You can just keep breaking down. Just going to give you a main point, then I break down for you. Verse 4 to 14 is understanding the heart of God through the signs of time. Understanding the heart of God through the signs of time, where verse 5, verse 11, verse 13, basically Joel is saying this. No one is immune from the coming crisis. No one. No one will be exempted. Everybody will face that storm. Everybody will face the storm. No one is exempted. And I think this is a truth. And it's out of grace and mercy. You know, the worst is that you preach, oh, everything will be fine. Don't worry. That's what Jeremiah called the false prophet in Jeremiah 23. Because false prophet in the context is that God is about to send a serious judgment. But those prophets before Jeremiah came, is everything will be fine. Don't worry. You know, God loves you and so on. I said, no. The message is wrong. God loves you is correct, but that is not going to be fine. It will not be fine. Okay, so that's verse 5, verse 11, verse 13. No one is immune for the coming crisis. Verse 8. It's a call to the urgency to respond. Urgency to respond. Verse 13 and 14, the requirements that God wants. The requirements that God wants. Okay, which I'm going to talk about it in the last session. Turn me to Joel 1, verse 2. Joel 1, verse 2. Say this. Underline this first two words. Hear this. You elders, circle the word elders. Hear this, you elders. Give ear, underline give ear. Give ear, all you, circle this word, all you inhabitants of the land. Let me just read it one more time. What a powerful exhortation. The very first statement is about the call to hear and to give ear. The very first statement of the book, Joel makes it so clear. Hear, pay attention to what God is saying. Develop that prophetic understanding. When I say prophetic understanding, I'm not talking about shamba ba ba, then you prophesy. Prophetic understanding, you know the very heart of God, what is happening and what is about to happen from God's perspective. That is what it is. And when Joel said, hear, give ear, is cultivate a heart of understanding. Cultivate the heart of understanding. Let me just read the verse again. Hear this. Hear, you elders, give ears, all you inhabitants of the land. Basically, Joel said, pay attention to what God is saying. Pay attention to what God is saying. The question of the hour this year is this. What is God saying about Singapore in this Jubilee year? I want to have such clarity. I don't want this, Antioch Asia and so on. Yeah, but what is God saying? What is God saying specifically about this Jubilee year for Singapore? I'm sure God is not a God who is kind of like, he speak not very clear or whatever. It's an issue we have to contend for, right? I know I share again for some of y'all who came late, is that I felt, especially today, God is inviting us to ask him for a word that we can bring even to the governmental office of our nations. I think it's time for us to raise that expectation so that we can be like Daniel and Joseph in such a time as this. Thus says the Lord. Really, thus says the Lord. Not anyhow quote one. If it's a word of God, he will authenticate with signs. Am I asking God for that? No, again, doesn't have to be us. I mean, hopefully not us. Because I certainly don't want to go to the PMO office or Istana. Let someone else go, I pray. Yeah, God, let the word come to Joshua, he go, I pray for him. Okay, yeah. What did he say? Oh, he's ringing now. Okay, good. So the question of the hour really is, what is God saying about Singapore? Okay, that's why Joel start. This is so important because I believe the word here is probably the most important here, word right now. We need to hear correctly. Say this, hear this, you elders. Give ears, all you inhabitants of the land. We have to learn to hear and hear it right. It does not happen automatically. Don't assume that you love God, you will hear automatically. Not that God does not speak, it's our heart is entangled with many things. That's where we need to cultivate. Okay, give you five implications about the word hearing. Every time the word hear is being mentioned. Okay, five implications. The first one is this. When the word hear is being mentioned, basically means this. The truth, the message being proclaimed is extremely important and extremely vital. And in the context for the Joel, actually he's pointing to Joel 2, verse 12 and verse 17, which we're going to talk about it maybe 2 weeks from now. Okay, the first one, the first implication is this, because I want to touch more on the fourth and the fifth. Okay, the truth and the message being proclaimed is extremely important and vital. I challenge you, search out all the word here that is mentioned by Jesus. He mentioned it 16 times. 16 times. 8 times in the gospel, 8 times in the book of Revelation. It's huge. Okay. Second about the word here, the implications. A call to pay close and careful attention to what God is saying. Don't be casual. Don't be casual. Don't be content with a superficial understanding. Go further. Go further. Like last week, I know many hearts were stirred about Psalms 2 and Psalms 110. Go further. Go further. Don't settle for superficial understanding. No, superficial is not, I do not mean fake. Go further.